From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. This month, we've been examining the legacy of the Supreme Court decision in Brown versus Board of Education and how much the country has changed in the 50 years since that ruling. Today, in the third part of our series, a little-known case called Mendez versus Westminster. 7 years before Brown, this case ended segregation for Mexican-American schoolchildren in California. NPR's Claudio Sanchez reports.
A short, dark-skinned woman with a bundle of papers and photographs strolls past the cluster of students into a big lecture hall in the College of Law on the UCLA campus. Her name is Silvia Mendez, a 68-year-old retired nurse from Orange County, California.
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
It's a great honor to meet you.
Thank you.
An honor to be here.
The man who welcomes Mendez, UCLA professor John Rogers, teaches this class titled The Struggle for Educational Justice. He has invited Mendez to talk about a landmark school desegregation case decided half a century ago. No, not Brown versus Topeka Board of Education, but Mendez versus Westminster, a lawsuit instigated by Silvia Mendez's father, Gonzalo.
My father had come from Mexico, Chihuahua, Mexico, and had settled in Westminster. And eventually, while working on the fields, he met my mother, Felicitas Mendez, a Puerto Rican that had come from Puerto Rico, and they had landed there in Westminster.
Back in 1944, Gonzalo Mendez and his wife Felicitas were raising three children and had saved enough money to lease a 40-acre asparagus farm confiscated from a Japanese family that had been sent to an internment camp in Arizona. The tiny farming community of Westminster had two public elementary schools, one for whites, the other for Mexicans. Celia Mendez points to the poster-sized pictures of the two schools.
Okay, this is the Westminster School. Concrete, very beautiful school. That's the one that we were not allowed to go to.
Mendez was 9 years old when she and her two younger brothers tried to enroll in the white school, but were turned away and sent to the school for Mexicans, Hoover Elementary.
And you saw a picture of the Hoover School that was like a shack with dirt around it and no playground. And the school books would come from the white school, whatever was left over, given to the Mexican school.
Mendez says her father was outraged. He talked to his neighbors about suing the school district. Mexican-American parents wanted no part of it.
They were so happy in that barrio. The Hoover School was right in the middle of the barrio. And all they had to do was walk across the street to go into that Mexican school. And so my father had to go and speak to them and tell them, well, it's such an injustice. But no, they did not want to join in.
Undeterred, Gonzalo Mendez turned the family's asparagus farm over to his wife Felicitas, emptied his savings, and hired a lawyer from Los Angeles. Eventually, four other families, Guzman, Ramirez, Palomino, and Estrada, joined Mendez. Some had just returned from the war and couldn't understand why, if they were willing to die for this country, their children could not attend school with white children. In March 1945, the group filed a class-action lawsuit against four school districts in Orange County on behalf of 5,000 Mexican-American children. Mendez dims the lights and ends her presentation with a local TV documentary about Mendez versus Westminster. When the lights come back on, some students seem troubled.
I cannot see the connection, or I cannot see the benefits.
Moises Castillo, a tall, lanky 18-year-old, says he doesn't agree with what Silvia Mendez says in the documentary, that the American dream lives on for Mexican Americans thanks to Mendez versus Westminster.
If we would talk to many people of her generation that are not successful, they'd say otherwise, that they're not living the American dream, that they weren't provided with an education or they weren't provided with other resources that could have made them successful.
On the contrary, says Castillo, look at the high poverty rate among Mexican Americans today, their dismal literacy and education levels, the dearth of Latinos with college degrees.
Today, it's a few that are slipping through the cracks and becoming successful, but most are not.
It's not the first time Silvia Mendez has heard this, but she says she's always come away from such encounters convinced that desegregation did improve the lives of all children, not just Mexican Americans. What truly frustrates her is that even in Orange County these days, people know so little about the Mendez case or the history of segregation in California. Of the 15 Mexican schools that once existed in Orange County, only one is left standing, almost exactly as it was 60 years ago. Cypress Elementary sits vacant right next to the railroad tracks, not far from the old packing houses where Mexican laborers once loaded fruits and vegetables. Nearby, the remains of tenement homes also sit abandoned.
These homes were actually built in the early 1900s, and they were inhabited by Mexican people. And the little greenhouse over there, those were like apartments.
Yolanda Morelos Alvarez, a writer and photographer, grew up in Orange County. Her parents attended segregated schools. She pushes the door to Cypress Elementary, which opens up into a large room with a high ceiling and warped wooden floors. Alvarez wants to salvage this building and have it registered as a historic landmark. Not long after she started researching the history of Orange County's Mexican-American community 5 years ago, Alvarez uncovered teacher training manuals written by a local educator who in 1932 advised school board officials that 75% of Mexican-American children in Orange County were mentally retarded.
So the curriculum didn't encourage academic learning, and there were some ideas in the, at the time in the early 1930s that Mexicans were inferior. The idea was to create a labor force, cheap labor force.
An exceptionally bright Mexican child could be considered for a slot in a white school, says Alvarez, but only if parents agree to have white school officials inspect their homes for cleanliness, orderliness, and proof of a moral upbringing. It was demeaning, says Alvarez, but the policy had its intended effect.
It helps me to understand why I don't see a lot of 70-year-old Mexican-American doctors, teachers, accountants, professionals. I was always a little curious why that didn't happen, and when I look at the education of the older generations, I understand the opportunity wasn't presented to them. It was actually discouraged.
The unfair, unequal treatment of Mexican-American students in Orange County was so glaring that in the initial 1946 ruling in Mendez versus Westminster, Judge Paul J. McCormick noted that even Mexican children who easily outperformed their white peers were stigmatized. McCormick wrote, "Segregation prevalent in the defendant school district suggests inferiority among children where none exists." McCormick ordered that Mexican-American children be allowed to attend white schools. The four Orange County school districts named in the suit were stunned. They appealed and lost, clearing the way for California Governor Earl Warren to sign legislation repealing all state laws that segregated schoolchildren by race, ethnicity, or language. State-sponsored school segregation in California officially came to an end in June 1947. 7 years later, as Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, Earl Warren would preside over the landmark Brown v. Topeka Board of Education and write the unanimous 1954 decision that struck down school desegregation in America. Mendez v. Westminster became a footnote in history to all but a few people.
You have to be real careful because I just fell down these stairs about 2 months ago and broke my collarbone right here.
Today, at age 68, with the onset of rheumatism already visible in her walk, Silvia Mendez lives in a modest two-story house at the end of a cul-de-sac in Santa Ana, California. She says her goal in life now is to keep the story of Mendez versus Westminster from fading entirely from history. So she regularly invites researchers and reporters to the small room that she's turned into a shrine of sorts. The walls are covered with old family portraits, plaques, and certificates from Mexican-American and black civil rights groups. Mendez likes to steer visitors to an 8x10 studio portrait of five children with smiles frozen on their faces. Three of the children are dark-skinned, two nearly blonde.
I'm in the middle up there, and there's my cousin Alice and my cousin Virginia. And you see how light-skinned they are? You see?
"We were so dark," says Mendez, "that white school board members thought we couldn't be as intelligent as white children. That's what they testified at the trial." What she says she'll never, ever forget, even though she was only 9 years old, is being put on the stand in front of all those white people.
"To show that we spoke English, that we were clean, and that what they were saying was untruth, you know."
Mendez grows quiet, and with her gaze still fixed on the picture, she says, "My father Gonzalo knew that judging people by the color of their skin was wrong."
"My dad was so sure we were going to win because he felt that, you know, he felt that in the United States there was justice, there had to be justice."
Gonzalo Mendez died of cancer in 1964. He was 51 years old. His wife Felicitas lived until 1998, just long enough to see the opening of a new school in Orange County named Gonzalo and Felicitas Mendez Elementary. Nearly all the children who go there today are Mexican-American. Claudio Sanchez, NPR News.